What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Great Girth Podcast. Tony here, one half of your favorite fat duo, with my other half, Austin, as always. And joining us, great friend, loyal fan as well, the bear of Texas himself, Alex Alcazaz. Alex, buddy, how's it going?
Just surviving, man. Doing what I got to do.
Yeah. What about you, Austin? How's life treating you? Oh, he ain't answering.
Oh, here he is.
Oh, now he's back. Well, Austin, how's life for you?
he's still wearing the hat.
Stressful.
I was going to say, I was listening to that episode. It sounded very stressful.
Oh, well, we had that. We had Iowa caucuses yesterday. We have...
Uh-huh.
That's what we need to talk about.
Trying to build my truck up. It's nightmare fuel.
I mean, and I wrote an article, and I'll say this again. Dallas Cowboys should never, ever be in the same sentence as the word Super Bowl ever again. Sorry, Austin, but you know this is the God's honest truth. Even Skip Bayless himself is finished.
It's okay. The curse is now broken. We got through this last year under the curse. And we're going to see who our quarterback and head coach is next year.
Yeah. And as it better today, not be the Pat, same. Pat McAfee group of... flirted with the idea of Mike Tomlin coming to Dallas.
No, I want Vrabel. Give me Vrabel. I will not be happy unless it's Vrabel.
I mean,
if you somehow get Harbaugh in, then I won't be upset, but that's not going to happen.
Oh, well. The Chargers are probably going to take him.
Sorry, gentlemen. I'm over here cleaning up a mess I just made.
You're all right, man. We're live. We're keeping it going. Show must go on.
Pretty much, man. I'm over here like, damn it, I just spilled my fucking soda.
You know, I should ask, Tony, you remember back in 1998 when Kane had that one day reign as WWF champion?
I do, actually.
I actually recorded an episode on that for Ringside Chaos. It was honestly just a random idea, but yeah, you know, it's interesting. Honestly, yeah, you can say that Kane didn't need to be champion for a long time. That's true, but I think he should have been champion for more than a day. But again, obviously, Stone Cold Steve Austin was the top guy at the time, and he wasn't going to lose to Stone Cold in a first blood match because Kane had the mask, so I get why they did it.
Well, yeah, that's the way I see it, too.
All these random thoughts and ideas from what happened in wrestling always come to mind, and really there's no harm in taking the time to talk about it.
Well, it's something that should be talked about because instead of talking about matches like we should be doing or ideas, we just talk about the shit that we don't like, which is annoying.
And that's part of it too. So to keep more positive vibes, and obviously, Jack Perry appeared at the NWJ New Japan Pro Wrestling event, Battle of the Valley. There's an article coming on that tomorrow. So, yeah, I'm always on the move, guys. That's just how it has to go. You always got to have the fresh content flowing in.
Before we go into politics, let me ask you this. Do you think that's a work, or do you think it's real? Do you think
he's really ripping up the contract? Oh, it's definitely a work.
And yeah, when he tore the AEW contract, do you think that's a work?
He put an armband on with a certain word, so yeah, this is obviously a work.
Hold on, you froze, and then you're cutting out. Here we go. Now I got you.
Oh, was it me?
So you think it's a work?
Yeah, it's definitely a work, because he put an armband that had a certain word. Yeah, it's obviously a work. Because New Japan has a huge working relationship with AEW, so.
Your stuff is cutting again, bro.
Uh-oh.
Austin, yours is frozen, too. Am I frozen?
It might be you, bud.
It might be him.
It might just be Austin's, because both of you guys are showing us frozen on my end, but let's just keep it going. Fuck it. If people don't like it, they can always swipe. You know what I'm saying?
Tony's got that internet.
Well, you know, there's Spotify, there's Apple.
Wait, are we all frozen?
Nope. None of you guys are frozen.
Nobody's frozen for me.
Nope.
And I love it over there dealing with the ice cream machine.
Hold on, I'm fucking like, you guys are both frozen on my end, too. This is annoying as shit. We might have to start this over. This is really annoying.
You have a good laugh, buddy.
Close some tabs, Tony. Close some tabs.
Close them tabs, son.
I might have to. What the fuck is happening? Close that Pornhub tab. I know, the Instagram. What the fuck? Hold on, let me try this. What the fuck was that about? Yeah, you guys like both froze on mine. I was like, what the fuck? And I couldn't hear either. I was like, am I frozen? What the fuck?
But, hey, well, is it better now, or how are we?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
No, it's
good.
Way better. I just turned off my fucking VPN. Now it's working, so that could have been the issue. Prevents me from doing anything these days. Austin, shut your mouth. I don't even want to hear it. but no, seriously, I was thinking, before we go into politics, I wondered if it was a work, too, just by the ultimate fact that he was still employed by AEW. So, I mean, you know, but we'll see what happens. I like that it's just Jack Perry now, not Jungle Boy, because I'm sorry, yeah. Dude, the Jungle thing is too much. It's too corny. I mean, it's too WWE. That's what I said on
the episode. The Jungle Boy thing was cool, but now it's time to see the darker side of Jack Perry. It's time to see the villainous side, the mean side of him. I mean, I talked about his cage match with Christian Cage. That was a hell of a match.
Yeah.
So we saw a side of the Jungle Boy, still a babyface, but the fierce side. But now we're going to see the complete dark side of him, and I think it's time for that.
Yeah. Well, Austin, I'm going to let you have the floor. We got to talk about Iowa.
For those of you who don't know, the Iowa caucuses were last night.
Mm-hmm.
And there was only really three campaigns that had any business being even.
Oh my God! He's doing it again.
At the time. And there's honestly, good.
Fucking restarted the whole thing. Now it looks fine.
Good.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. So the Iowa caucuses were yesterday, if you may don't know. And there were really three campaigns that had any reason to be in it. And each campaign would have their own kind of agendas or own goals of what they needed to get done. First was Trump. Trump needed to win huge. I mean, he'd come out, win by 25, 30 points, leave DeSantis and Haley kind of way back in the dust and really kind of cement. He needed to be over 50%. Both DeSantis and Haley needed Trump to be under 50%. And, well, I got my big map up here so we can talk counties, but Trump did win 51%. He won by almost exactly 30%. So the Trump campaign got what they wanted. They needed a really big victory. They needed no one to come in close second place. And so Trump really won out on this one. What he needed to happen all fell right in line. He ended up winning by almost 33,000 votes, which in a caucus is crazy high in number. Trump surprisingly did really well.
Yeah, if he makes it, we're screwed.
So Trump surprisingly did really, really well in the Des Moines area, which is Polk County. So Polk County means that, this is where Haley and DeSantis are going to actually do really well. But when you look into Polk County, start looking at individual precincts in Polk County, especially, for instance, a bunch of stuff downtown Des Moines, what we expected to see was Trump to kind of just barely be keeping up with Haley, DeSantis, and a lot of these, and even Haley winning a lot of these precincts. Haley ended up only winning 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 20, 30 precincts in Des Moines. We thought it was going to be about 40, 50. I think the snow, the day of the caucus was actually like -7 degrees at the time the caucuses started. And they were like, the news was telling people, don't go outside or you will die. And so people who really like to say, who are really motivated to go out and vote, went and did it. But Trump's really good showing here in Des Moines, in Polk County, and then also up in Waterloo, up in Blackhawk County. He really performed in some more urban, denser areas than we thought they would, than he would, and that really kind of blew out what we were expecting because of how well he did. But then the DeSantis campaign, DeSantis wanted to A, outperform poll results, B, win, or come in a very, very close second. And DeSantis did none of those. He's right where polling had him. He was nowhere close to second place. And he was so far from winning that it seems comical that he would ever actually get in.
Well, obviously, I'm disappointed because you guys know that he's the guy I am. You know, we've all been in situations that we endorse a certain individual and they fail to meet expectations. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why, but I guess maybe the main thing is he's just not ready.
So, like, in some areas where we thought that DeSantis would actually do really good were some more central rural areas. So mostly in, like, Story counties and, like, outskirts of Johnson County, Washington County, which are, like, outskirts of Iowa City and Ames and Des Moines. And he really, really underperformed in a couple spots. When the night first broke, a lot of Haley counties came really quick, faster than we thought they would. And it actually looked like Haley was going to be the second place candidate, and by quite a bit, very early in the night, 5-10% coming in. Then a bunch of DeSantis counties came in and they kind of leveled back out. But he really underperformed in some, like in Polk County. We thought Polk County was going to be, Polk County is where Des Moines is, the biggest city in Iowa. That Polk County was going to be really big for DeSantis. And it turned out to be really big for Haley and Trump. And DeSantis actually missed out a lot of ground. Another place we thought he'd be doing really good is over in Davenport, which is Scott County. It's right on the border of Iowa and Illinois.
It's a place I'm familiar with. That's Seth Rollins' hometown, right, Tony?
Yep.
So, right.
Yeah, I think the other side, it's a town called Moline, Illinois. That's where he has his wrestling school.
So in Davenport, we thought DeSantis would probably perform pretty well. To give you an idea of how underachieving DeSantis was, he actually didn't win a single precinct in Scott County, which is that one right there by Davenport and Eldridge. Yeah. Oops. So the DeSantis campaign failed at everything. Nikki Haley's campaign needed Trump under 50% and to make it competitive, stay competitive with DeSantis. They got one of one. I got one of two. One, Trump was not under 50%. He's at 51.2 or something like that. That's unfortunate. And then we needed to the Haley campaign really needed to stay competitive with DeSantis. And that did come to flourishing. But unfortunately, DeSantis underperformed. Haley also ended up underperforming in some major areas. So we talk about the Des Moines here. I don't know why I didn't do this. We look at Des Moines, Iowa here. Each of these sections is a precinct. Orange precincts are won by DeSantis. Greens are won by Nikki Haley. And reds are won by Trump.
Jesus Christ.
We expected this to be a lot greener and a lot oranger.
Yeah.
But if you look, where DeSantis actually wins, he wins really slim margins here. Everywhere except I mean, let's hear about Grimes. I remember he blew out Haley pretty bad. But most of Haley, she's defeating DeSantis pretty handily. I mean, 37-25 here. I mean, Vivek Ramaswamy won an entire precinct in Des Moines, which is insane. I don't know how this happened in precinct 45. But so Haley, while DeSantis was underperforming in most of these counties,
Haley also underperformed what we thought she would be at. And so that kept her competitive, but it's concerning because, I mean, what the hell happened over here? But we look over here to Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, and Iowa City is your most liberal city in the state. This is where a bunch of college kids are. What we expected to see was this whole block to be green. We did precinct 52, precinct 53, 48.
Oh, it's just me, but you're cutting out pretty bad.
24. We're expecting these to be a lot greener. And even these light greens, we expect to be darker green. So Haley ended up underperforming. But at the end of the day, Haley does end up staying competitive here with DeSantis. I know the campaign would have liked to see this flipped with Haley with 21 and DeSantis 19. But let's be clear. Ron DeSantis spent every penny he had. Ron DeSantis sent every member of his staff to Iowa. He put every piece of every egg in that basket. Every basket into Iowa. He didn't win a single county. He won a smaller percentage of precincts. And the unfortunate part for Ron DeSantis is his campaign is over.
Well, I think for now, he should just stick to being governor of Florida. He's obviously he's not ready to be the president of the United States.
Because...
I mean, but in my case, I got to take responsibility because, you know, there's no denying it. I endorsed the guy.
Yeah, I liked him too.
Now, some fellow patriots are asking me if I feel humiliated or embarrassed by this. No, I wouldn't say humiliated or embarrassed. I mean, disappointed, yeah. But at the end of the day, my case, I made a judgment call, really.
So
I wanted DeSantis too, but.
But, you know, like I said, he's not ready.
No.
So the reason I say that DeSantis' campaign is over is we're going to scroll back. We're going to go look to the very next state, which is next Tuesday, 1 week from today that we're recording this. It's the 16th now in New Hampshire. Ron DeSantis is still polling in single digits in New Hampshire. And if you are a DeSantis fan, I know that the Vec dropping out probably helps you. It either helps you and it's going to help you and Trump. But I don't see a pathway for Ron DeSantis, who at New Hampshire is polling at 6.5 versus Haley polling at 31 and Trump polling at 44. Where there's any pathway to the nomination. Now, DeSantis came out last night and said, I'm not done. We're going to keep on campaigning. We promise we're going to keep campaigning because he's got some money saved up. He wants to blow through it to make sure. And then the other problem we have is in South Carolina where – Haley is a former governor. We don't have very good polling in Carolina, but DeSantis is again polling in single digits in South Carolina. And this is what happens when you put all your eggs in one basket. You don't run a good campaign. And this is why when DeSantis announced he's running, I expressed he's not ready. He flip-flops on issues. He lies about problems. And the biggest thing is he has no public personality, which is fine when you're running for governor. When you're on a debate stage and all your smiles are... It doesn't end very well. It does not end very well because you have to be... We saw it when Haley and DeSantis debated 101. Finally, DeSantis tried to look authoritative and strong and hit and punch, but every time he did, Haley was able to kind of sidestep and make him look like he a sad little man. The problem was that DeSantis tried to take the lane of I'm the big strong guy, taking the slings and arrows from the left to protect you. But you can't do that when Trump's in the race, when Trump's been making the argument since 2016, doing it extremely effectively, did it effectively as president, and now he's running. I think DeSantis is the second best governor in the United States.
Who do you think is number one?
Kim Reynolds in Iowa. Kim Reynolds is fantastic. I don't care who wins the nomination. Well, I care who wins the nomination, but no matter who wins the nomination, I hope that Kim Reynolds is the VP pick.
Okay, well, you know what? There's a question because I was going to ask. Let me ask you, who do you think is the third best governor?
Probably Abbott.
Okay, that's the governor of my state. Well, okay, now I got to ask, who do you think is the worst? Is it Gavin Newsom?
No.
Is it Kathy Hochul? I had to ask. I really did.
It's so close because they're all so bad at their jobs.
I mean, to be honest, they're both well. I mean, at the end of the day, Hochul and Newsom are nothing but communist anti-American criminals.
But I think it's probably J.B. Pritzker in Illinois. I can't stand
who was
Pritzker. Fuck that guy.
Who was the governor before him?
Before Pritzker?
Yeah.
Like in Illinois?
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. I'm just curious. And then we've talked about it before, but I can't remember her fucking background. Who exactly is fucking this Lori Lightfoot bitch?
She's the former mayor of Chicago. And yeah, after she was ousted, of course, the people of Chicago, what do? They elect an even bigger dimwit.
The governor.
And yeah, I did say dimwit because this guy is a fucking dimwit.
A
communist dimwit, if you will.
What was it?
Bruce Rauner.
I have no idea who that is. Okay, never mind.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but recently the mayor of Chicago went after the governor of Texas, Governor Abbott, accusing him of sending him migrate to the city because of the mayor's skin color. Is this not true?
Yeah. And the funniest part is they tried to do that with Denver. He's like, oh, look at us. It's me. It's Eric Adams in New York. And it's the mayor of Denver. Couldn't remember the mayor of Denver's name. Because we're black mayors are sending it in. The mayor of Denver is Matthew Johnson, and he's the whitest guy you've ever seen in your entire life. Apparently, the mayor of Chicago didn't realize there was an election 2 years ago, or a year ago, that kicked out Michael Hancock, who's a fucking moron. But so he didn't know, and so he's like going off about how Denver's got a great black mayor, and it's just the whitest guy ever.
I mean, all right, no, Governor Abbott did it because you, like Mayor Adams, the mayor of Chicago, said, we'll take them. So Governor Abbott is only accommodating their requests.
No, but isn't it crazy how these governors and mayors of these big cities up north are like, oh, these hundreds of migrants a month coming into our city, it's hurting us so bad. How can you expect the city, New York City, with a $1 billion budget to ever house hundreds, take care of hundreds of migrants? Meanwhile, Brownsville, with like an average income of like $140,000, gets thousands and thousands of migrants a week.
And soon, it's going to be that much every single day. You see, because they're saying they're making the same mistake that Jimmy Carter did back in the 80s with the Cuban Mariel boat lift. And now all of a sudden they say, we'll take them. It happens. They don't like it. All right? And I swear to you, you know, I'm sure I've told you this story, but when I was in California a couple months ago, Californians had the freaking temerity to come to my face and say, oh, you're from Texas? Well, you need a governor like ours. And I literally tell them, I didn't tell them obviously what I wanted to say. I just politely said, no, we're good. Or I said, no, we do not. But
like, no for thanks.
Californians to tell me, the guy from Texas, that we need a governor like theirs? Oh, fuck off.
You don't want to be like California. Like,
it's bad enough that Texas has already become much like California. Cities like Austin, for God's sake.
Yeah.
There's a lot now.
I mean, Austin, Craig, you're from San Antonio, right?
Corpus.
Corpus, okay.
You lived in Corpus for a while.
I haven't been there. I've only been there once, but it's, God, I think that was back in 98 when I was a little kid.
Well,
I would actually love to go to Corpus. It's a long drive, but I'd like to go to Corpus.
A lot since.
Oh, I'm sure.
Since then, it's a lot more working class now than it is.
Yeah.
Like a beach town anymore, but that's okay. It's still Port Aransas Beach is still the best beach in the continent. So.
But going back to this whole crisis, it's just, you know, it didn't surprise me because at first they proudly declared they'll take them. And I'm sure I've expressed my serious anger, the fact that homeless veterans are being kicked out of hotels and left on the street in favor of illegal immigrants. See, that makes me sick. It makes me sick to the fact that a lot of men and women go overseas, fight for our country, experience God knows what, they suffer from it. It's called post-traumatic stress disorder. They come back, all they get is a pat on the back, and they're thrown out. That's it.
Some of them don't even get their GI Bill like they're supposed to get. No. I've been hearing a lot of stories about that.
They come back to this country lifeless. They come back in a freaking box.
Some of them don't even come back. They do.
The two idiots in the White House have yet to take responsibility for the lives that were lost during the withdrawal of Afghanistan. Make no mistake about it. If they didn't have those soldiers killed, they had them murdered.
What's your guys' opinion on this? So, like, here's the thing. I remember when we were talking about pulling our soldiers out all those years ago.
Right.
And there was, of course, like the positive of it, which was like, oh, sweet. These guys don't have to be in Afghanistan doing nothing. They could be home with their families and so on and so forth. But I always thought that we were better off spoon feeding them over there because at least then we could watch them. But it comes into the whole conversation about is war just for money or whatever. I always thought we were better off staying there, but that's just my opinion. I mean, what do you guys feel about
the Taliban? Like that.
Did you see the balls of Pakistan?
Mm-mm.
Pakistan called the White House and they're like, hey, the Taliban are really causing us some problems over here in Pakistan. Could you come help us take care of them?
No, fuck that.
You're good. Pakistan, which harbored Osama bin Laden, the Taliban, and Al Qaeda, while we were fighting them in Afghanistan. Now have the temerity, the balls to call us and ask for help against a problem you created. That's like if you own like poisonous snakes in your house and you get bit, you shouldn't be allowed to call 911 and take up resources from sane people.
Yeah.
So now Pakistan let a bunch of really bad snakes in their house. They're like, oh, don't worry, to keep the neighbors away. But, oh my God, I'm going to quote Hillary Clinton. What the fuck? Hillary Clinton said, and I quote, you can't keep snakes in your backyard and expect them to only bite your neighbors. Guess what? They're starting to bite you now, and you're fucked. Because even Joe Biden was like, nah, good luck. That sounds like your problem.
Oh, yeah. And yet he takes care of other countries but doesn't take care of his own damn people. Yeah, so all of a sudden there's one country that he wants nothing to do with, right?
Imagine the world we'd be in if our politicians and, like, the people that hate people like us cared about our country as much as they do other countries. Like, imagine what could get done for ours. Because they claim to care about, like, gun violence and all that. Yeah, they don't
give a fuck. Oh, give me a break.
Right. It's more just to take away your ability to defend yourself. I always tell people this. I'm like, you know, I understand the argument about left or right being the same. I've felt myself in that position. However, I do have a problem with one side of the room that's trying to basically decommission everything that has kept our country running. And they don't do that in the name of tolerance and diversity and change. It's in the name of destruction, so we can start from the ground up. The then great again, reset, if you will. Agree with you them,
that supposed tolerance and whatnot?
Yeah.
No, dude,
I couldn't even tell you.
Hypocrisy, I am.
I couldn't even tell you, dude. I post videos all the time, and all I ever get are those, like, they're those keyboard warriors that they love to talk shit.
I see the pictures, dude. I've seen the pictures. I've seen what you posted, Tony. I'm telling you. Because honestly, I'm so curious to know the reactions that we get. I really am.
I should probably stop, but I can't help it. Because there are some that they get on my nerves. Like, there was one dude that had the fucking gall to block me after trying to get one up on me. I'm like, so I won this conversation, and that's why you blocked me. Which was stupid, because I'm like, dude, his comeback would have been so great, because anything I would have said probably would have sucked. His comeback was great. But he blocked me, and I was like, what did that do for you exactly? Wouldn't you have rather have been happy for my silence or to see what shitty comeback I can come up with? Like, wouldn't that have been better than blocking me? When you block me, it leads me to believe that you can't handle what I'm saying.
See, that's the truth, but he would honestly say, I blocked him because this guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, that guy is just masking his insecurities. Listen, at the end of the day, we've said it many times. Look, if you lean on the other side,
cool.
You know, we're not going to hate you for it. But if you attack us or come like that, then obviously we got to fight back. At the end of the day, it's your life. You live the way you live your life the way you choose to. But the problem is, us who lean on the other side, we're not allowed. We're not deserving of freedom. Like, we should be thrown out on the street. We should never have a job again. Honestly, they would honestly love if that all three of us were put against the wall and then and slaughtered with AR-15s. They would like it. Now it sounds exaggerated. No, I'm not even kidding. They would love to see us be shot in the head because we're the bad guys. We're the traitors because we have a different opinion.
Well, that's what I'm noticing too. Like, it doesn't matter what I post. If it has anything to do with disagreeing with the popular crowd, with all the cool kids, the ones that go in one direction, as we call them sheep when I was a kid, whenever I post a video where I have an opinion, again, just an opinion, not a fact, an opinion against the cool crowd, that's when everyone gets upset. And that's when Instagram and TikTok and all those actively do what they can to hide us.
They really did they recently block one of your videos?
Yeah, so what they did was I posted it. Now, typically when I post a video on TikTok, it'll get anywhere between like 200 and 500 views within an hour, sometimes faster. This one, I checked in like 10, 20 minutes, zero views. I checked back, 30 minutes later, still zero views. Then I checked back an hour later, still zero views. So I figured it was being, they were probably looking at it like, oh, how can we take this down? Because it was a video about how white privilege is kind of a joke. Well, not necessarily a joke. It was more just like, it's funny that this is what makes you white privilege or whatever. Again, going against the popular crowd. So I figured it was probably under review. They're going to remove it. And then I go back another hour, same thing. So I just reposted the video with a different caption and like different, hashtags, same thing. And then Instagram, it did well. But then I think a tranny somewhere got upset with it. So they must have said something because Instagram suddenly just stopped it. And they're like, we can't run this. Like, no. You can do an appeal, in which I did. And then they were like, yeah, it's good. So after taking down my video and making me go through that shit process, it's back up and running. But I posted another version of it like, hey, Instagram and TikTok are taking this away. So enjoy, and that one, zero views. It made sense. I was like, yeah, because how dare anybody have a different opinion than the one that everyone has to have? Very simple. You're not allowed to disagree with the popular opinion. That's the world we live in.
No, you can't agree.
I don't give a shit though. That's the thing. And I'm like, no, I don't care. I'll call people out. I don't give a fuck who you are. And I've noticed too, dude, man, that a lot of these people that comment on our shit that have something funny to say, they don't have a profile picture. It's usually an anime picture because, only a real man would show his shit, but you know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's a beautiful rainbow flag. So, you know, I just laugh. I'm like, oh, okay, you have the balls to talk shit on here, but you don't have the balls to show your face. Pure and simple. That's how they are, dude. A lot of them are children too. Like, I will not argue with anyone that's like a Gen Z, or I just won't argue with them. Cause to me, I'm like, well, you're not that educated, like on any walk of life. You don't know anything. You really don't. And it's not to say that you're stupid. It's more that you're just a kid.
Right.
Kids aren't that educated like they think they are. It takes years of learning things. So anytime someone from like, you know, that crowd has something to say, I'm like, yeah, but I mean, again, you're a kid. Like you're on here, you're spending all this time talking shit with me, yet you don't think what I have to say is interesting. You also will go out of your way to block me. So thanks for that, because that makes my shit more popular. You know.
Keep it up.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Please. I mean, yeah, I actually again, do.
It's been said before. We're in a world. If you don't lean left, you're evil. There is no freedom. I mean, if you're not a member, if you're not on that side, there is no freedom of speech. You're not entitled to it.
Oh, yeah. And they turn on their own, too, man. I warn people about this all the time. I got friends that are left-leaning, and I always tell them, you know, like, I understand why you believe what you believe. I don't agree with it, but I'm just letting you know now. The left side that you subscribe to, they're using you. They don't care about you. They'll throw you aside as soon as they can.
Yeah.
Especially if you're, like, a politician or if you're a movie star or whatever. You have to submit to their views. Cat Williams talks about that a lot. Everyone thinks he's going nuts. And I'm like, I mean, he's a celebrity that rightfully so is pissed about how he's been treated. And when a celebrity starts talking about God and all the dark shit that goes on and how people have to sell their soul just to be famous, it kind of makes sense a little bit. You know, yeah, he does sound a little nuts. I mean, as a Christian, I do feel like some people are nuts when they talk about God and Jesus. Like, there are just some of those that I find them to be nuts. Again, that's coming from a Christian. But he sounded kind of crazy. But again, you hear that and you're like, yeah, he's saying it too. That if you don't subscribe and you don't submit and comply to the popular crowd, which, like I've said before, they own TikTok, Instagram, they own Hollywood, they own the news, they own the schools, they own the FBI. If you don't submit to the popular kids, then yeah, you're not welcome. And I'm positive that if I did not openly talk about politics, and that if I didn't openly say I was a conservative, I can guarantee that we'd have more views. We'd probably have, because it's not just people that don't like us. I think it is a lot of these companies that we're trying to use as tools to get our word out there. They do what they can to actively suppress our message.
Yeah.
And there really isn't even a message. That's the crazy part. I'm not here trying to revolutionize anybody. Because if I have anything to say about the revolution or the counterculture or whatever, it's fuck it. Fuck your revolution. I don't care about your revolution. Your revolution's fucking retarded.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about your revolution. So I'm the guy that I'm hated because I ask the questions you're not supposed to ask. Again, it goes back to being demonetized and being suppressed, but at the same time, I don't give a fuck, because the people that get offended are older people that know better. Like you,
mm-hmm.
you should not be 40 and 50 and still leaning left. I'm sorry, but you didn't grow up. And then the other ones are the kids. You know, I got to admit though, this long rant led me to want to tell this one short story.
Oh, please do. I mean, you're on a tear, buddy.
So here it was. One of these guys, he commented on a reel on Instagram, and his comment, I didn't even see it because it came out like 2 a.m. So I get up at 6 and it shows up as a notification on my phone, and his comment says, yeah, it makes sense that you look like this. And I wanted to respond, but then I go to open it up and the comment's not there. I'm like, oh, he must have deleted it. So then I remember the name and I tagged him in something. And he goes back to that video and responds again, except for this time he keeps it. And it said, you know, it was on par with what he said earlier, but it was like, yeah, it kind of makes sense that you would spew shit while inside your trailer home. And I laughed because I was like, yeah, this behind me, it does look like a trailer home. Like, it definitely looks like a trailer home. But at the same time, I had to. It was dynamite in my hand. I was like, that's a lot from someone that deleted their prior comment. Very noble of you. And then, like, I heard nothing. So, like, I was a bitch. I've noticed, though, that when I argue with people, a lot of them don't expect you to argue back. A lot of people that I've noticed, man, a lot of people that comment on your shit, they will not comment back, typically. No. They don't expect you to. They don't think you will because they know that a lot of people don't actually look at those. I do. I just don't comment right away. And if it's too good, I can't help it. Like, I remember one guy was like, oh, that's fucking funny. You started a podcast even though you have nothing interesting to say. And I was like, yeah, but you're here. That's interesting, right? You're still talking. I'm still exactly. Watching my fucking ads. Like, I love those. Like, what's this bullshit clown ass shit on my feed? I'm like, what's this bullshit clown ass comment on mine? Like, I love fucking with these people. I love calling them out. In a weird way, I'm kind of like an online bully because I love it when someone has something shitty to say because then I love fucking with them. Like, I like to just see how mad they get.
I mean, they poked you, dude. You're giving them what they wanted. You're giving them what they asked for, dude.
Yeah. If you ask me, like, they may not have expected it, but when it comes, they're like, oh, shit, now I have to one-up. I'm going to comment. And I'll spend, like, 30, 40 minutes arguing with one fucking person on social media. I'll admit, did nothing. But I feel like when you put people in their place, they tend to fuck off, which is what these people do. I've never heard from them again. They've never, like, lurked on my profile because you can see who looks at your shit. And I've checked, and I'm like, yeah, they're not there no more. I think that was just their way of being a piece of shit, thinking I wouldn't say nothing. And I was like, well, lucky for you, homie, we're not a popular podcast. We're still up and coming. So I can say whatever the fuck I want. I don't have a talent agency I work with. I don't have a fucking manager. I don't have any of that shit. All this is done.
And we never will. Dudes.
I mean, we will silenced. We will not be silenced.
Exactly. That's how I'm with it, man. I'm like, I don't care who gets offended. I don't care who gets mad because I don't agree with popular opinions. I don't give a fuck.
See, I've been asked, Alex, what are you gonna do if your parents decide to disown you, because of the way I lean? Well, if they choose to do that, so be it. If they cannot accept me for who I am, so be it. So here's the deal: any friends I have that are listening that are far lefties, if I just offended you, if you don't want to speak to me again, fuck off.
Good time.
It's. I mean, honestly, you died a long time ago.
Yes, I have a personal belief on that. Anyone, and this goes for either side, whether you're left or right, if you have family or friends that are willing to, like, cut all ties with you because of your political beliefs, they weren't really family or friends to begin with. They were just weight. They were dead weight. So, I mean, you got rid of dead weight. You know what I mean?
I've said it many times. I'm not Republican. I'm not conservative. I'm a right-wing-leaning independent. Right. And then people would ask, well, what are you doing on a show with two other conservatives? I'm like, well, because number one, they're good people. Number two, we agree.
Right.
How could you be an independent? Because some people would say, Alex, it seems like you are a solidified conservative. I'm like, well, number one, I'm a fan of JFK, and JFK was a Democrat. I'm a fan of FDR, Franklin, Harry Truman, you know, like that. So that's why, I mean, but then again, some people say, yeah, but dude, those Democrats back then, it's not the same it was today. I'm like, yeah, I know. But still, back then, it was considered considered left-wing. Just obviously, but in a better way. But yeah, that's why the independent is still stuck on me.
Well, I think it's fair to say that a lot of Democrats from back in the day, 50s, 60s, all the older folks, they're Republican now because of the counterculture.
Yeah.
The party has changed. The people didn't. You know, what's his name says that the best. Bill Mayer. He's a popular show host. You know, he's a Democrat. Yeah, I know he's a Democrat. He said that he didn't change. The party did. Because they're so extreme now. And he's like, and you know, yes, the Republican Party has its problems. That's why I'm not a full-on Republican, but I support Republican more than I do Democrat, just because, to me personally, I can't support Democrats when they are a party that refuses to admit that they started the Ku Klux Klan, that they were all for slavery, and that's why we went to war, that they're the same party that are currently trying to undermine everything that women have worked hard for. So, yeah, the Republican Party has its issues, sure.
I mean, China, my only problem, North Korea, though, is Cuba, Russia, you know, Soviet Russia, all that leaned what side, Tony?
Left. Now, yeah, we were just the German regime
from the German regime from a certain time did lean right, but that was an extreme far right thingy, and that's something that we totally condemn. Yeah. Here's the difference. I think the right wing, we condemn the extremism that came from that. We condemn it, not the other side.
Yeah, there's
the other side praises it, they adopt it, and they try to change it to try to make it different, but even worse.
Well, yeah, and it goes without saying anything can be corrupted. There are plenty of times where both sides have been corrupted. I mean, look at Watergate. You know, like that's a classic example of corruption. But unfortunately, gentlemen, we have hit the end of the road. Duty calls for me as the parent, so I gotta step out and deal with little me. But Alex, buddy, as always, man, thank you for coming on. Go ahead and plug your info for a minute for the viewers.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you are looking for the greatest pro wrestling podcast in the world, you got to check out Ringside Chaos, the greatest football podcast, what we call it soccer in this country. It's Into the Net FC. And if you're looking for the only Dallas Cowboys podcast that is not part of the Cowboys Nation cult bullshit, it's honestly open. It tells you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Doesn't give a shit if you're offended by it. It's called Cowboys Talk. They're available anywhere you get your podcasts. But also check out the website I work for, Third Down Thursdays. Also check out the Playmakers blog. And be sure to check out Pipe Bomb Radio New York City, Pipe Bomb Metallic. And also be sure to check out the best basketball podcast in the history of the world. It's called Shooting Lights Out. And it's also available anywhere you get your podcasts.
If you guys like what you heard here and you want to check out more, you can find us at thegreatgirthpodcast.com. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, as well as YouTube. Please click on that subscribe button. I am Tony, here with my buddy Austin, as always. Austin, Alex, I will see you guys the next time around.
Adios.